You are listening to Nutrition Secrets by Ryan Fernando, only on Red Podcast.
It's going to be an interesting and even more interesting episode of Nutrition Secrets with Ryan Fernando today. Ryan, welcome back.
Hey, Disha, good to be back again.
Since we're taking questions from our listeners that come to us on our app and on our posts, in fact, a lot of them have to do with sex. And people want to know how they can have prolonged sex without any medication. Ryan, this is an ocean of a subject. Let's dive in.
Here's the thing. In my counseling room, when people come in, there are three types of people, okay? There are people who are single and then who want the sex performance for the pure pleasure part. Then we have people who are married with children and then want the sex part for the connect and companionship. And then there's a third part is people come in and saying, I need to know that I'm not getting old because I'm not able to perform or the desire is not there.
Ryan, there might be a fourth one where people are trying to conceive as well, right?
So the conception one is very interesting, Disha, and I'm glad that you asked me this. And please keep asking me small questions between, because it's exactly like how it happens in my counseling room when people come in for diet. And one of the factors is I want to be fertile, I want to conceive, and also I want to have better sex. So let's get into this one part. A lot of times, 99 times out of time, the performance is not an issue with younger couples, but the conception is the issue. So in that case, I don't call it a sex problem, I call it a fertility problem. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to dedicate one episode on fertility, which we'll talk about later. But today, let's say about that couple wanting to have kids, but just not having the libido or the desire to get into the mood. And so let's talk about these different segments of populations, okay? The youngsters, the ones who are caught up in their work, just married, or they're a couple, don't have time for sex. Then you have the ones who've already had the kids, but need that spark and connect happening back together, but they just don't have the libido or the desire. And the final is the segment where clinically, erectile dysfunction, vaginal dryness, etc. are all the issues that tend to crop up in the plus 40, 45 year age group. So let's start with the youngsters, okay? Youngsters come to me and I don't think there's a problem with sex because you're at the age where your estrogen, your testosterone, both men and women, the libido is high. But the issue over here is the youngster wants to be able to be James Bond or have Olympic bedroom performance, as I call it, which is you want to break all possible records on the planet with your better other half there with you. And I think over here, it comes down to diet from one particular point of view. You see, and the most expensive real estate in the human body is the brain. In fact, in sexual performance, desire first starts in the brain. And the research that has come out that smokers, marijuanas, alcoholics, people who drink 3 glasses of wine significantly damage the brain, which further impairs sexual desire. So while people say, oh, I'd love to have a drink because it reduces my inhibition, I would say to you, it'll actually dry you up. For the men, lower the time of the erection, and in the women, reduce the wetness and the desire, the libido to get into the act of sexual performance. So if there are youngsters out there, I would ask you to smoke less, drink less, get more colorful fruits and vegetables. There was this study done, it's a very famous study on over 20,000 people as a respondent, and they looked at their diets and they found that people who had more flavonoids and more quercetins and more anthocyanins, Ryan, speak English. These are colorful fruits and vegetables like purple cabbage, purple jamun, butterhead lettuce, broccoli, asparagus. By the way, asparagus, if I could have a bell here right now, ding, 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 asparagus would be the one that would give the men the harder erections. Asparagus in Hindi is known as shatavari. It's used as an aphrodisiac. It's a vegetable which promotes greater testosterone levels. And I read one study where they tested it out on women. And so for women who have a lower libido effect, shatavari works on them in equal measure. So in the youngster population, I think reducing your outside foods, which is the palmitic oil, palm oil, which kind of clogs up the blood flow to the genital area. Now, you don't see this in your younger years, but anyone who's eaten food outside for a decade or a decade and a half, they don't exercise. By the time they are in their mid-30s, their desire to perform drops through the bedroom. It just doesn't happen. And I know this because nobody discusses this publicly, because you do not want to discuss your performance publicly. Yes. But when they walk into my room, they're like, they actually wait till my assistant dietitian walks out, whether it's a female or a male. And they're like, Ryan, can we do anything about improving our desire to have sex? Or if we are having sex, we're not having it long enough. Now, there's another thing, okay? People think that when they watch porn today and then they watch all of these movies, that people actually last for 30 minutes and 1 hour. This is rubbish. Actual medical science has shown from time of starting foreplay to orgasm in men, it can be anywhere from 30 seconds to about 20 minutes at the max. And for women, it can be anywhere from 30 seconds to a max of 30 minutes. The key over here is the blood circulation. The key over here is the brain. And so what can we do from a nutrition secret point of view? So sometimes I don't like my podcast because I begin to give away all of these secrets, okay? So Chatavri is one of the secrets. Tar cherries is another one. The Indian amla and gooseberry really bumps up. And people have come back to me and said, Ryan, I don't know what it is, but you know, and I can't ask them directly, like, has your sex performance improved? Because it's not like somebody's running a 100 meter dash and said, oh, I did it in 9.8 seconds.
You can't ask me for that personal best. No way.
So I have yet in my 2 decades of practice come across a couple or a guy bragging that, you know, the guys do brag. It's like, yeah, sir, you know, it's much better and stuff like that. But when it's in the couple format, it's always that you get to see weight loss and better muscle tone, and therefore better oxygen circulation. But coming back to my secrets, there is an amino acid called arginine. And arginine does a function known as vasodilation. Vasodilation means the blood vessels begin to expand. So when you want to have great sex, blood circulation needs to reach the genital area, both for men and women. In fact, a lot of women don't orgasm because they have poor circulation. And because they have poor circulation, the arousal factor is not there. The moment I bring in arginine over a 3-month period, they begin to give us feedback and input that, yes, I feel better than before. I feel the desire, which is much better than before. Obviously, it's you're getting fitter, you're getting in shape. And you know, the act of having sex is also a workout. And it's not easy. And I don't know if anyone has watched the Instagram videos where this guy is asking this girl to mimic his position and go all out with his count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And so she collapses saying, my butt got a cramp. And they're fully clothed in this video. But it was so entertaining to find out that, you know what, doing it is actually a workout. And a lot of people fail, Disha, because they are not aerobically and physically fit to do this workout. So you know what happened?
This workout is essentially cardio. So people who are heavily into weight training, do you think they might struggle with this because they're not in touch with cardio exercises?
To a certain extent, but I think when we look at the human race, evolution has made us in such a way we'll adapt in whatever way to perform. For the man, it's the easier part because getting to orgasm is easier. Whereas a woman, it's more complex. The neurochemistry is a little bit more different. It's got to do both with the brain and blood circulation and flow. So I think women who are more cardiovascularly inclined derive a greater benefit. Yes, men will fatigue and tire. But at the end of the day, if I do know people who just do walking and have great sex lives. The important thing is the blood circulation. So coming back to my arginine thing, people must be waiting like, what is this arginine? Green peas have one of the highest arginine content in the plant kingdom. So I have started asking people to have more amount of green pea. In fact, I had a client wherein I gave him vegan protein powder and it was a green pea protein isolate. So 3 days later, he called me up and said, sir, is there any Viagra in the green pea protein isolate?
Seriously?
In 3 days. So he's like, no, there's no Viagra in it. But I said, what happened? He says, no, sir. Earlier, I would do once a day and then be very happy. Now, sir, I'm wanting to do 3 times a day. My wife is super happy. So I was like, why is your wife super happy? She says, no, earlier she was complaining. I didn't want to do it. Now I'm doing it. So then I explained it to him that the arginine in the green pea protein isolate. Now, everyone listening in, please don't go out and buy a dub of green pea protein isolate, because it's not really going to do that, because this guy also got his act together. He started working out. He stopped smoking, blah, 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 and all of those things. So sometimes it's also psychological that when you do make changes, and which is why it's very important for couples to talk to each other, what each person wants or what each person desires. I think when there's more talking between two couples, I remember this was one couple that came to me and they had never talked to each other and they were already 50 plus. And so obviously they've had two children and everything, and sex is taken for granted. And I was like the man says, like, you know what? We hardly have sex anymore. So I said, okay. I looked at the wife and said, do I have permission to have a discussion about this with both of you? She said, yes. Said, okay, let's go. Let's ask a few questions. So I asked the man, how often would you like to do it? He said, I would like to do it at least twice a week. And then I asked the woman, how often would you like to do it? She says, I don't feel like doing it. And so the man looked at the woman and he said, but you never told me this ever. She said, did you ever ask me? And so we then got into a deeper question, which was, why don't you feel like it? She says, after my menopause, I never really had the desire. And so the husband looked at her and said, but then why were we having sex? So she said, well, I wanted to keep you happy. And he said, but I'm not happy, because I thought that when I do it once in 2 weeks or once in 3 weeks, it was not enough, but you were keeping me happy. So you're actually doing me a favor. And they went into a very nice discussion, and I didn't do much except improve their nutritional supplements. For the lady, there was a list of supplements, which I'm not comfortable giving publicly, because we did have her chemical hormonal makeup done and all. So normally when we recommend, like, there are a whole list of ginsengs and yohimbe and yerba mate and horny goat weed and salai google or terrestris tribulus. So many other things are there, but you can't randomly just take this, because when you're older, it kind of will affect your biochemistry and blood chemistry. But the moral of the story was that the communication actually worked better, because they started going out on these holidays together. So where the sex was perfunctory for the man realized the woman wanted to be, his wife wanted to be in the mood. And they realized by just dialogue that what she wanted was to do it on holidays. Oh. And so they started planning more holidays together, small breaks away. And when I met them like 3 months later in my counseling room, they were both grinning like teenagers. So it's like, did the green peas work? Did the magnesium work? They said, so the lady said, nothing of yours worked, Ryan. It is just the communication that we had between the two of us.
Would it be safe to say it is a lethal combination of dialogue and diet?
It is actually the two D's. What you just said, Disha, you hit it bang on. Powerful D, okay, Disha? So the dialogue and diet, I think, is absolutely bang on. And you know, that does really happen, because we say that the brain is the primary sex organ. Your genitals follow through. So I think, yeah, and so for the men, what I'd like to say is that whilst your libido may be high, you orgasm faster, and therefore you're satisfied quicker. The true essence of having great sex is actually keeping the dialogue open with your woman, asking her what she needs, because the moment she's having those multiple pleasure situations, she's going to want more, and you're the side effect of that wanting more. So I think the onus lies a lot on the men to improve the diet for the family, to improve the diet for his better half, to understand the woman's monthly cycles, because the libido does change after the menstruation happening, and the men should be aware that women are more receptive maybe after their cycles, but not before or during their cycles. So it varies from person to person, and that dialogue really helps. Now, what I've seen is that for women, jeera water really helps, not as an aphrodisiac, but just in better blood circulation, digestion, and having an estrogenic effect. Soy milk, soy protein also helps, because estrogen is number one in helping in vaginal dryness. And most women today are eating so wrong that they are not discussing vaginal dryness during sex with their partners. And this is becoming a silent killer of the bedroom chemistry, because the woman then is not in the mood because the sex is painful. Yes, we do have companies that sell lubes and lubricants together, but I genuinely believe that it's got to do with the lack of antioxidants and a few B complexes in the diet. Also, women might want to look at collagen, because collagen is one of the proteins that helps in better elasticity of skin, hydration of skin, not only on the face, but every other part of her body. And the self-esteem of a woman is greatest when she looks and feels good. And so if that's something that the diet can do for her, then I think the responsibility of the partner, the partner, is to make sure that the food, the nutritional supplements are bang on. Now, I know I've discussed about the whole relationship. What do you do to have a longer performance? And this is the question I think even a 80-year-old will ask me, and an 18-year-old will also ask me.
Before we go into that, can we just remind people what the realistic timelines are when they're having sex, as opposed to what pop culture, like you said, porn and the internet throws at you, just so everything falls in perspective?
I'm going to be straight, 30 seconds to 20 minutes. 30 seconds to 20 minutes. If you are doing more than 20 minutes of performance, you're the couple that is the triathlete couple. You know, you're the marathon couple. But if you're having sex within and both of you are getting pleasure in 20 minutes, that's standard. That's normal. I don't think evolution created man to procreate for more than 20 minutes, because a lion or a tiger would chase you in that 20 minutes. So jokes apart, you know, I think people are wrongly convinced by television, media, and just the bragging thing, you know, which man would go out and tell his buddies, yeah, you know what, I had mind-blowing orgasm in 3 minutes. And which woman would in her own right go out and say, oh, you know what, I orgasmed in 5 minutes. Women tend to be more private about this, men to be more bragging about this. But I think because of the social construct that has happened out there, there is this whole thing, especially in the youngsters, that they need to be able to be supermen, or the women need to orgasm instantaneously to, you know, be what we call as superheroes. So let's get down to this longevity of performance in a single session. Number one, it is known that alkaline water helps. So today, most of us don't drink enough of water. When your blood is thinner, circulation is better. Therefore, the senses are more tuned. So when people are dehydrated, obviously, you're going to sweat faster, you're going to get a higher heart rate, you're going to get fatigued faster, and the heart and brain is going to say, hey boss, you're fatiguing, we're going to not make this session very pleasurable. So getting into elite performance means hydration is number one. Pink salts work really well. In addition to that, your traditional moringa or drumsticks is amazingly good. So what I have done as a secret recipe is I include a lot of moringa chutney in my wife's recipes and my recipes. Now, I hope she doesn't listen to my podcast, because then she'll know why I'm feeding her so much of moringa leaves and moringa drumsticks, because it's one of the most powerful antioxidants. And yes, there is no scientific documentation, but you know what? To all my listeners out there, try moringa chutney for 10 days and give me a feedback direct message on my Instagram whether the bedroom performance actually sustains longer. Yes, you'll have to keep a stopwatch like I keep one on this podcast and check, you know, how long are you going? And communicate with your partner. Say, hey, you know what? I enrolled in Ryan Podcast Advice and we're doing moringa chutney for 10 days. Let's see what it's like. The other thing that I would love to work with is walnuts, pistachios, and almonds. The reason is they are amazing in terms of the omega-3, which actually help in vasodilation or thinning of the blood. And finally, you need to have high nitrate compounds in your diet, which are green leafy vegetables. Specifically, if you're listening into my podcast this long, and if you think I'm rambling on, well, it's butterhead lettuce. Butterhead lettuce has the highest content of nitrates, even higher than beetroot. So beetroot is going to give you great sex performance, but butterhead is three times even better than that. I know there is many of you right now pausing the podcast and are searching for butterhead lettuce on the shopping list. How much of butterhead lettuce? 3 to 4 leaves every day. No, if you eat butterhead lettuce right now, you're not going to have an amazing night tonight. It does take 3 to 6 weeks to build your nitrate content, which releases nitric oxide. Orgasms basically happen when you have a buildup of nitric oxide and there is the explosion of the orgasm, and then your body releases an enzyme that breaks down nitric oxide. And in women, this is able to be replenished instantaneously for her to have another orgasm, or what we call as multiple orgasms. In a man, it's the same thing. Now, when they discovered Viagra, they found out that Viagra stopped this enzyme from further breaking down nitric oxide, thus keeping the male organ or the penis erect. So the man was like, hey, dude, I'm not losing my erection. And the woman was like, hey, I'm getting better and deeper and harder orgasms. The function of this is when women and men have lesser nitric oxide in them because of the diet, smoking, marijuana, alcohol reduce nitric oxide, then the desire to have great sex may be there in the brain, but the function of having great sex is deflated because of the lack of enough of nutrient molecules that give you enough to produce high volumes of nitric oxide. Now, people may ask, Ryan, what can I take as a nutritional supplement? Well, it's arginine as an amino acid, branch chain amino acids, and citrulline malate, which, if you're listening to my podcast this far, one of the natural sources of citrulline malate is found in the white of the watermelon rind. My servant thinks I'm very conjuicy. Little does she know, horny little Ryan wants to peel the green skin and eat the white malate.
That's not even the tasty part. Most of us leave that bit out. So you're saying don't go for it.
I'm telling you, all the horny people on the planet are going to start, even those who are not horny, are going to start eating the watermelon rind now. And they're going to have this sheepish grin on their face when they're eating that rind, when their friends ask them, why are you eating the white? Are you being conjuice about it? You're like, you have no idea why I'm eating the white rind. Ryan said so too.
Wow. So that's one of the rich sources that you say of amino acids.
And it also helps in vasodilation during your bodybuilding workout. So if you see very fit people and you see them ripped and you see what we call as the veins popping, you know that their vasodilation levels are very, very good. Now, in men, this is displayable because obviously they have low body fat, whereas women are known to have body fat because of fertility, childbirthing, and having mammarian glands, which is breast tissue. So women are supposed to have a higher body fat percentage, which aesthetically will not show you that a woman has a high nitrate content. But if she does store a higher nitrate content, well, she's going to be asking for more and more from her partner.
Now, Ryan, that's longevity. And we've covered the two D's to make sure that your diet and dialogue gets you to enjoy intercourse. Now, there's a third category you said you wanted to touch upon.
Yeah, the third category is when you get to the old people, right? And then you'll get onto the fertility bandwagon, okay? So it's the old people. Everyone ages, but hormonal treatment with a good sexologist or a good doctor may work in boosting your hormonal therapy, which ranges from DHEA to testosterone to even estrogen to even growth hormone. Now, as a nutritionist, I don't know the science very, very deeply, but I always walk on the line of, can nutrition help my client get better? So the number one thing is, muscle is the only age reversible organ. So the more that my older clients start weight training, the greater is their blood circulation. Two is, I begin to aggressively include supplements that have quercetin, that have anthocyanins, soy isoflavones, green tea extract. Now, these are things that the dosage cannot be determined online unless you meet the client and understand, do they have any medical issues? Do they not have any medical issues? Anyone with a medical issue cannot take a sex performance enhancement nutritional supplement, whatever it be. Even if it's something as innocent as, let's say, you know, taking flaxseed. Like, I actually give flaxseed to most people for their omega-3 content. And flaxseeds have certain compounds in it which actually boost libido. In fact, some of the ancient Ayurvedic formulas actually have ground flaxseed, freshly ground flaxseed added to it. So it's actually a testosterone booster. And people, you know, in the olden days, would look at things like Shilajit, which is a resin, which has more amount of minerals in it. And there's nothing great about it, just that there was mineral deficiency in people. They got tired, they weren't eating correctly. And so when they took this potent Shilajit or this flaxseed powder, or they took Salai Google, Terrestris tribulus, I think that's what it's called. Gokshura is Terrestris tribulus, which are herbs that boost a libido. Then they thought that, oh, this is the elixir. But I think everyone in the old age group should look at you're not using your body, so you're losing it. And when you get older, it's not only your sexual organs that need to function, your entire body needs to function. So I do have a lot of plus 50 clients that come to me, and yeah, they're moving their sexual organs because husband and wife, touch wood, for up to that period of time, still want to go at it for their bonding, for their relationship, for their communication, for their desire. But then they're complaining about the quality of it, and they're not looking at their overall cardiovascular endurance. They're not looking at their arteries, their blood pressure. They're not looking at their ability to lift things, ability to do yoga, Pilates. I mean, sex involves so many positions that you can do, and it's just a missionary position, right? But obviously, as you get older, you get more stiffer, you get more lazier. It becomes perfunctionary. So I think for the elderly population, my prescription would be Pilates first, then yoga, then cardiovascular training, then a round of 3 months of fat burning, drop 10 kgs of that extra fat around your body, and then watch your sexual prowess rise. I think that's the right way to approach it. And I've been doing this for quite a few number of years, and then I normally get the women saying, please give me something, I have no libido anymore, but my husband still wants to do it. Or vice versa, the wife says, I want my husband to do it, but now he's 50 and he doesn't even have any desire for me anymore. And when you go a little bit of deep dive into both, they're like, both want to do it, but both are too out of shape, or the diet's too bad, or the body's too bad. So reconstruct your body back again. And that's, I think, the number one thing that would work. There's an amazing supplement called NMN, niacinamide nucleotide, which is doing a lot of rave reviews on how it's boosting the mitochondrial efficiency. And in a few clients that I have used NMN under a doctor's prescription with the advice of the doctor on the case with me, in addition to coenzyme Q10 and a lot of vitamin C, either via amla or guava, libido powers in the elderly have increased. The final group is the fertility group. Now, I have two types, okay, Disha? Those that don't have the desire to do it but want to conceive, and those that have the desire are going away at it like jackrabbits with clocks and timers to conceive but not conceiving. So for the first group that does not have the libido, well, I've already said.
Ryan, this is a huge population of people today, and I believe, and we've talked to a lot of doctors on our shows in the past, where they say that the average age group of infertility, say 10 to 15 or 20 years back, was very different from what it is today. Now, would you be able to share some information that you might have based on your experience about that? And then, of course, the two categories of people, the ones who don't have the desire to conceive and the others who are trying but aren't able to.
Mine's a little bit more from a social point of view in terms of people coming in for counseling, right? So if I went back to my first counselings about 15, 18 years ago, people didn't have that many partners before they got married. Maybe they didn't have partners. They directly met up, arranged marriage, got married and stuff like that. So what I'm seeing today is that there are far more number of partners before you get married. So the function of having a kid has gotten very robotic. So my perspective over here is that the dialogue is not happening between the two partners. Therefore, the law of vibration of attraction between the two spouses is not at the most efficient level from a spiritual level. So Disha, imagine two magnets. The two magnets have come together to form a family, but both the magnets are not talking to each other to vibrate in the same frequency. And the vibration of the frequency is a spiritual frequency that needs to attract a soul. Now, this is the spiritual part of my counseling. The biochemistry part of the counseling is, you're not eating correctly. You're on your phones all the time. Your blooming mobile phone is next to your groin. You're more interested in watching an Instagram and a Facebook rather than getting your partner horny by whatever you need to do to get that partner there. So it's becoming very like clinical in terms of the desire to create life. It's very functional. It's very robotic. And I think that's the crucial problem. Nobody's talking about this. Plus, earlier it was that women manned the households. So they demanded the sexual encounter with their husband because they needed to bond. But nowadays what's happened, both are independent. So society is advanced forward. So the woman holds her ground saying, I am as tired as you are. And therefore the vibrational frequency now comes from both sides lacking. So the intimacy now is a little bit deeper in terms of, dude, I just need to have a kid because my parents want a kid, or my wife wants a kid, or my husband wants a kid. It's not because the couple wants a kid. It's not because you're vibrating at a spiritual level and at a loving level and at a happy level wherein, but this is what I feel when people come into my counseling room, that the energy of the food that they eat is crap. So they're not disciplining to ready their bodies to become fertile. For example, research has shown if you smoke, you rob yourself of about a few milligrams of vitamin C and B complex, right? So for a guy who's smoking 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 cigarettes a day, what do you think is happening to the cells in his body? Let's go a little deeper. Cells in his body, cells where? Oh, how does he create life? He creates life with his sperm. Let's go down to the sperm level. Okay, sperm is produced every 3 months. How was his diet for the last 3 months? Oh, what does sperm carry? Sperm carries the DNA of my future unborn child. Now, do you think he's transmitting the right DNA code with the diet, with the lack of exercise, with the smoking, with the alcohol, with the stressed out times, with the laptop, with the phone in his groin? I don't think so. So first of all, his sperm is not in those millions that are Michael Phelps swimmers, but they are all like, zombies in some movie trying to, I need to get somewhere, but they're not going anywhere. And then we come to the woman who is eating more fatty foods today, the more processed foods, because we are eating a lot of junk foods, e-commerce apps, clicking, a lot of cravings, a lot of thyroid problem, lots of PCOD problems. So cysts in the ovary, insulin sensitivity, resistance of sugar, then she gets more sugar eating, she wants to do all of this thing. And so she's not bothered about getting into the best possible shape so that the egg that she's carrying, which carries the DNA material, much like the man, is getting the best nutrition. So what happens is now when an egg meets a sperm and the casings around them, which are based on your spiritual vibration, your energy vibration, which is the vitamins, the minerals, the macronutrients and everything, are not so great. So obviously you're going to have fertility rates in the single digits for majority of the population. I also feel that maybe we cannot always blame the couple. We got to blame our environment, the amount of plastics, the amount of pollution, the amount of work stress that we go through, the way our life is designed today, that like right now I'm talking to you on my podcast recorder, but my laptop stream is pinging with my WhatsApp on the side. And that's actually stressing me out. So the whole point I'm trying to communicate is we live in such a stressful world today that could be a component that is affecting our fertility. In fact, one story I would share with my listeners, when me and my wife got married, we obviously discussed, and I encourage anyone getting married, please ask the person you're marrying, do you want to have children before you get married? It's important in today's day and age. I've had couples come in. I still remember the story. One couple, husband came in, it's like, yeah, I want to get ready. I want to have a child. And the wife turns around and says, you want to have children? I don't have children. And my jaw dropped because this happened live in front of me. And I was like, holy shit. I called up my secretary and says, just ask the next appointment. We're going to be 1 hour late. The reason being is that this couple is going to go into third world war right now. So you need to decide beforehand that you're going to get married, that you want to have children. Right. But this whole fact of creating a new life, I remember telling my wife, when we're going to have children, she had such a stressful job, she would talk in her sleep. And I was like, okay, listen, if you're going to have a kid, one condition I have is you're going to have to quit your job. But I'll give you a job. And she began to build the nutrition clinic with me. Now, I'm sharing this with people is that I believe my son was conceived in zero stress mode. So when you look and talk at my son today, he's a very chilled out dude. And then when children come into my counseling room and they're very highly strung up all the time, they're like buzzing all over the place. I just look at the parents. Then I ask the mother, was your child conceived in high stress or conceived in low stress? So how we incubate the egg is also crucial in fertility. So one aspect is, yes, you can get fertile. Yes, you conceive. But look at the fertility treatment stresses that people go through. And I highly encourage people. I had this one couple where she was given, subjected to this chemical bombardment of estrogen and progesterone. And I had told them that please do the BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene test for breast cancer. Now, you do not know this, but women between the ages of 35 and 40, when subjected to fertility treatments, could activate the gene that exists in them, which are positive or negative for breast cancer, with estrogen or progesterone. In simple English, sometimes taking an injection to cause better fertility may go the wrong way for certain individuals and cause breast cancer. So before people start fertility treatment and all of these things, my question is, have you sorted your life out? Are you ready to become a parent? Are both of you ready to become parents? Is your emotional wavelength, is your chemical wavelength as parents, and is your chemistry as a couple solid? That vibration is solid. Then you go into your nutritional and your genetic aspect to check out, are you missing anything? So I think a lot of this is very, very important, which is why I will end this podcast saying, have a planned pregnancy. Don't have an accidental pregnancy. In fact, accidental pregnancy is okay. It means you're fertile. But did you not smoke or drink for your sperm or your egg to be amazing for 3 to 9 months? So I have many celebrity couples who come to me. And the first thing that is when they conceive, they're like, okay, Ryan, what should we do now? And I was like, I wish you had come to me 6 months earlier, because I would have loved to influence the nutritive value of the imprinting. We call this imprinting in the womb. Imprinting in the womb starts at the time of conception. So ladies and gentlemen, whoever are listening in, whenever and if you decide to have children, approach first with aligning your bodies with the best possible synchrony to the universe. I think if you start doing that, fertility will not be a problem. And for those who have a fertility problem, it's a very deep dive topic in terms of changing your microbiome, changing your genetics. So knowing, like for example, people who are gluten sensitive have a 6% higher chance of a miscarriage. I remember reading the scientific paper. So when somebody comes to me and I do the nutrition gene test and I find out that, oh, you know what, you know, you're gluten intolerant. I'm like, okay, you need to give up gluten because you're planning a baby, you are planning a baby 12 months later. And they're like, okay, but why do I have to give up gluten? So then I explain this and I show them the study. And it's like, but how do you know I'm going to get a miscarriage? I'm like, you're going to have only one child. Do you want to risk it? So the perspective is, people think in today's day and age, when we have only one child, we can still do it like how our grandparents did it, 8 or 9 children, yeah. You know, the randomization of everything. Chalo, theek hai, chalta hai yaar, jo bhi milega, dekhega yaar, accept karega. But today we're having only one kid or two kids. So I think I am telling people, because of all the stresses in the world and the fast pace of the life and the pollution in the world and less organic food, more pesticides, more insecticides, it's your God-given right to be more diligent.
Ryan, that is a well-rounded perspective to a topic that is otherwise quite deep and would have taken us much longer, but we will touch upon a lot of such interesting subjects in the upcoming episodes of Nutrition Secrets with Ryan Fernando. Thank you, Ryan, for yet another fabulous discussion.
Cheers.
You are listening to Nutrition Secrets by Ryan Fernando, only on Red Podcast.